The Power of Henkel.
Good morning, everyone, to all our listeners. Thank you for joining us today for this next installment on our podcast, The Power of Henkel. Today, we're joined by Justin Colby, who is Henkel's Director of Market Strategy for Power and Industrial Automation. And the topic today is Industry 4.0, which is also known as the Smart Factory or the Factory of the Future, pick your term, and how the elements of Industry 4.0 can be maximized for the best return. So, Justin, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Laura. I look forward to this very interesting discussion.
Absolutely. So I don't really think that Industry 4.0 probably needs a lot of explanation. A lot of our listeners will be really familiar with the topic, the fourth industrial revolution, which is largely driven by data and automation, energy efficiency, et cetera, to enhance manufacturing efficiencies through real-time information, auto-correction, AI-integrated systems, et cetera. So this discussion, because a lot of our customers and factories around the world have invested in lots of smart manufacturing systems. But how do you get the most out of those systems now that you've made that investment? So much like the headline of your recent article called Getting More Out of Four, that's really the topic today, is how do you maximize that investment? So first and foremost, investing in robotics, automation, advanced AI, all that's really, really expensive. And how do you develop a robust business case for that resource allocation?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, right now we are certainly facing an uncertain economic future. We have things like looming global recession. Certainly inflation is causing increased cost of capital. And so, CapEx spending is really getting more and more scrutinized. Because of that, then a robust business case becomes more and more important. We saw during the most recent COVID pandemic that, some companies went ahead and invested in automation and were able to reap significant benefits from that. Well, other companies kind of put those investments on hold to see how things played out. Both are certainly reasonable ways to move forward, but investing in automation has a lot of advantages. Just in the terms of corporate citizenship, things like sustainability, energy savings, those are key payback options for innovation. We also see, obviously, why do we invest in this? For reduced waste, for increased yields, increased capacities. So all those things can go forward and be part of the business case for industrial automation. On top of that, with the increasing cost of labor and very low rates of unemployment, machines become a very important part of the production chain and can help build resilience into that chain. So all those things really build into the business case for automation. And really, I think, make it a very smart investment for most manufacturing companies going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the evidence is certainly all there. And Henkel has proven this in its own manufacturing operations. We've seen it really across the spectrum in Henkel's global manufacturing footprint, but particularly in the laundry and home care division and its plant in Spain. I mean, they've increased capacity tremendously, where now they're doing something like 300 bottles of detergent a minute, which is phenomenal. Also, in the same business unit, has upgraded a warehouse in their Kentucky factory with just massive unloading and loading capabilities. How many trucks can come in and out of there a day? It's like 500. I mean, it really is just amazing. So Henkel's really proven the business case for automation. And in fact, in a lot of those factories, you'll find Henkel materials and automated systems from a lot of our customers.
Right. I mean, you Also didn't mention the plant in Montornès, which is really, I think, a flagship in our adhesives division for modern manufacturing techniques. So again, many examples within the Henkel operating network for automation and really payback for automation. You know, you mentioned our materials that go into these solutions, and yeah, for many reasons. You know, we see controls, drives, energy management systems that really go into harsh environments that are being asked to provide more and more function in small spaces that really need to be dedicated to their core function, which is manufacturing. And so, you know, Henkel solutions in thermal management and encapsulation really allow for these PLCs, for the controls, drives, motors to run in these environments very reliably and also very efficiently. And so, you know, not just from a manufacturing standpoint, but from a sustainability standpoint, we see a lot of our customers using Henkel materials in order to build that value into their products. You know, one of the things that we've done in Henkel recently is to add more automation to our energy management, which helps us, you know, be much more sustainable, be much more efficient in our energy usage. And so really, automation encompasses not just what happens on the manufacturing floor, but what happens in all the streams of energy and waste that feed that manufacturing floor. And so a number of different avenues for improvement and advantage in industrial automation.
Right. Now, I mean, that's a great point, too. It's not just the systems themselves, but it's how do you get the most out of those systems once you make that investment? And that's really the piece that Henkel answers, I think, for on the material side. In addition, I mean, I think to the quality, capacity, efficiency, et cetera, and the pure financial upsides that you see from all of that. And you and I have talked about this before, Justin, but and you touched on it earlier in this conversation, but there's an important element, which is resilience against worker disruption.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we see right now that I think the global rate of unemployment, you know, continues to decrease, certainly in here in the U.S. and in other developed countries. Unemployment rates are significantly low. And so just filling, you know, filling the plants, filling manufacturing facilities with, you know, with qualified workers is a challenge. On top of that, if we put things in like, you know, pandemics, God, heaven forbid, those don't continue to happen. But, you know, there's also weather disruptions, you know, natural disasters, all kinds of things that can happen that reduce the ability to get workers into facilities. On top of that, we have, you know, automation can easily do things that are or easily be put into operations that are more hazardous to workers. So, you know, I think it can add safety, right, to reduce impacts of you know, repeating operations, increase or decrease exposure to hazardous environments, or even just unpleasant environments. And add distancing and space between workers so that, you know, when things happen, hopefully they don't spread through a plant with the same speed or consistency that they maybe have in the past. So, you know, all those things lead to a safer working environment. But, you know, there's also been kind of this overarching fear that, you know, are machines going to replace workers? Are they going to obsolete workers? And really, I don't think we've seen that. You know, historically, it's been a fear in every industrial revolution up to this one, and continues to be a discussion point. But, you know, really what we see is that the machines take those hazardous or unpleasant jobs that you know, are dangerous for workers, and really allow workers to do the things where they add more value. And what we're seeing now is more and more equipment that's designed to work side by side with humans, right? Collaborative robots, things with a lot more safety and sensors built into them, because, you know, really we don't see humans ever going away from manufacturing. You know, more value to what they can do, and again, hopefully more separation from hazardous or dangerous processes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. In fact, I read an article about that the other day where there's always been this fear that automation would put people out of work, but that historically hasn't happened. It's actually workers complementing the automated operation and adding value. And I think that that probably will just continue. The other point, which is, we've seen a bit of this with supply chain recently in the pandemic, is not just manufacturing resilience and the ability to keep on pushing out product even when there's disruptions, but there's also geographical resilience. So as factories become more automated and a lot less reliant on low-cost labor to meet margins, et cetera, the playing field becomes a bit more equal from region to region, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a major consideration for companies. I mean, onshoring is certainly become a trend in the market, shortening supply chains, especially with increases in travel costs and freight costs. All those drive the cost of goods, and as we reduce that that labor cost in every widget that we make, every component that we make. We reduce the reliance on low cost labor, right? And so that means that some of these other costs become more important discussions in determining where manufacturing should happen. It certainly opens up the options and makes the ability to choose based on supply chain or proximity to customers where it makes the most sense to manufacture. Certainly, a number of opportunities there. Similarly, as we think about things like digital twins and artificial intelligence, we try to pull a lot of the art out of manufacturing and replace it with processes that are more easily reproducible in different areas. And so, twin lines in multiple areas, multiple geographic locations. Honestly, they can be monitored from anywhere in the globe in many cases by very skilled operators or skilled supervisors, really increases the versatility of lines, increases the robustness and resilience of the supply chain, and brings a lot of advantages to the manufacturing base.
Well, I'm convinced. Yeah, it's a really interesting discussion. I think it can take on, a life of its own. We could talk about this for hours, but it's clear, even in Henkel's own operations, that Industry 4.0 is delivering on many of its promises. It's awesome that Henkel's a key contributor to that, both with materials and by investing in smart factory technologies ourselves. Our customers are certainly leaders in that area, so it's exciting to see how this all unfolds. And we appreciate you joining us, Justin, today for your insights on this topic, and I'm sure we'll meet again and discuss this further.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. Always a pleasure to have these conversations. Always a pleasure to talk. And of course, this one is very near and dear to my heart. So anything we can do to help forward the cause of industrial automation and help build value in this space and drive the industry forward, I think is only to the benefit of all of us.
Absolutely. So thanks again. We appreciate your time. For anyone listening that's interested in learning more about what Henkel is doing in the Industry 4.0 space, there's a lot of articles, videos, etc. on our website. There's also the article that we referenced at the very beginning of this podcast called Getting More Out of Four, authored by Justin, that you might find interesting. So we encourage you to go to the Henkel website and check it out. Thanks again.
The power of Henkel.